Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, this shit is bad, dog. 105 black skin and got a black bar. Yeah, this shit is fucked up. No more cry, time to ride and stay like us. Yeah.
They wanna trap your body, lock your mind. See you rising, wanna stop your grind. Sell the drugs they sold to us and call a drug bust. Grab their money, double product, then they lock you up, it's fucked up. They stand they ground, you better bow on yours and tough luck. We start rebelling cause they failed us, man, enough's enough. We bring a pistol, they got K's. We got rocks, they got grenades. Waving tanks all in your face. Ha! Look at what you made. You're trying to send the mud, then get mad when we decayed and enraged. We play this old game since we was raised. Until we load the cartridge, blow that dust up in your face. Ha! Yeah, this shit is bad, dog. 105 black skin and got us blackballed. Yeah, this shit is fucked up. No more cry, time to ride if they act up.
And they pumped up and they ready to go. If you jumped up in that lid, fuck what you did, bruh. Your wife is thinking your kids crying. Heard what they said? Toss your shit off on that float with that pistol up on your head. Them fuck boys running straight to your stash. Luck in that closet, under that bed. Grabbing your kids and copping your bread. Ain't re-up, niggas ain't find shit. Lord, somebody tell them. These niggas know too much. Point out some sucker niggas ducking. Probably owe too much. Now wifey caught a kiss. Your baby fuck.
Good evening, good evening, good evening, everybody. Welcome to tonight's episode of YBE Radio. I have my amazing guests, Shalice and Keith, with me. Do I have y'all with me tonight?
Peace, peace, peace.
Hey, hey, hey.
Yo, yo, how everybody doing?
I'm great. How is everybody else doing? I'm excited.
I'm
we have a great... Yes, I'm excited. We got a great show tonight. We do have DC's own Jeannie Jones. We like to call her Kitty of the City around these parts, and I'm going to get into our intro a little bit short in a couple of minutes. But before we start, I want to start off with Shalice. I think we want to start doing this every show because we want to encourage, you know, the leaders, our readers challenge. So I know Shalice has a passage she would like to start off with. So Shalice, you want to go ahead and kick that off for us?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So again, I just say Hotep family, and thanks so much for tuning in for another 90 minutes of Black Power and Black Empowerment. So I'm going to start the show off, as JB said, with a passage. We are going to start making this a regular thing because knowledge is the most important thing, and the passage that I'm going to read is speaking to that. So I'm reading from Wake Up and Rise Up, Sisters, The Voice of a Black Woman, and that is by Mama Ife Asada Fatio. she is someone that I consider to be a great role model and an example of what black women, young black women, should be working towards as African women. So I'm going to go ahead and get started. So our history is our collective memory, and without it, we are lost. Studying our history gives us direction and keeps us anchored. When we are disoriented, we surrender to others' directions of where we should be going and others' definitions of who we are. It is impossible to obtain our optimal development if our total memory of self has been erased. Not only was erasing our memory necessary for our ancestors' physical enslavement, but it is the key to maintaining our psychological bondage. The erasing of our memory keeps us vulnerable to the oppressor's definition of who and what we are, because there's nothing in our memory to debunk what we are told. Our collective amnesia is what maintains our psychological enslavement. In order to snap out of this amnesia, which has us killing one another, merely raising our children and not rearing, emasculating our men, and hating ourselves and each other, denying our indigenous culture and more, we have to study. Opening up our mind is a process that we must begin immediately for the continuity of the Black community. And again, that was from Wake Up and Rise Up Sisters by Mama Ife Fatio. So please, I'll post the link for the sales. She is currently selling this book. And make sure you check it out. It's a great read.
Awesome. That was beautiful. And next week, Keith or I will have a passage. And like we said, we're going to continue to do this and we'll switch throughout so you can kind of get all of our styles and the things that we like to read and what we think, you know, would be interesting to everybody. So I kind of want to switch gears. I know that last week, well, on the 26th, Shalice had her first How to Be an Activist 101. Unfortunately, I know I wasn't able to be there, but I just wanted to talk to our sister about how it went because I heard so many positive things from the people that were there and saw amazing pictures. So let us, like, tell us about it. How did it go? And what are your plans next after this?
Well, it was actually pretty amazing. This was my first event that was produced by Be the Village, which is the community, the direct action community initiative that I started. It was the energy and the synergy in that place was incredible because you had so many people from different organizations, so many people who are just, you know, starting to get interested in grassroots activism, and having some of our young leaders from Baltimore, and also some of our elders who have been on the front lines for years to speak to that crowd. It was empowering. It was affirming. And I definitely have to thank everyone who supported me, whether you could be there physically, just the spiritual support. It really, really helped me to produce something that I feel like was amazing. And yes, Maurice Ashby and I, you know, shout out to Maurice, we did have a brief conversation and we came to an agreement that we are going to keep this going. We're going to make it a series, make sure that we're rotating the panels. Maybe the panels will address specific issues such as motherhood, fatherhood, community involvement, community gardens. We want to bring who have experience in these areas and who can actually give some kind of support and encouragement to our people. We want to make these people available to you so you have the resources to get out there and, you know, get something started on your own as well. So, yeah, look forward to that.
Awesome. That's amazing. I'm very proud of you. I know Keith and I have talked about it. We're proud of you. Everyone that I know that knows you and is watching you do this is proud of you and donating and everything else. So if you are willing to be a part or want to donate, please contact Shalice. We've posted the donation link on our YBE page on Facebook. You can contact any of us and we'll be more than happy to provide you some more information. So I'm going to switch gears a little bit. Most of you guys that know me know that I've been fanning out probably for about the last 3 weeks because I just happened to be on Twitter one day tweeting about the underground, and I happened to have Miss Jenny Jones tweet back to me, and I kind of looked at the computer and then looked at my phone like, I'm tripping. Like, did this really happen? Like, this is not the person who I think it is. But it was, and it blossomed into being able to have her on the show. So I kind of want to, I want to introduce everyone to Miss Jeannie Jones, DC's own Kitty of the City. She's been in journalism and entertainment since she's graduated from the University of Maryland with a degree in journalism. She's created her own media company, Meow Media, as well as doing multiple projects. She's been on many radio stations all of us have known in the DMV area. So, Miss Jeannie, welcome to YBE Radio. Do I have you on?
Meow.
Meow.
Hey.
Yes.
What's up? Yes, I am here. I am so, first of all, I want to salute and congratulate you guys for what you have created, what you are doing, and it is so necessary. And I challenge all of you to just be as consistent as you can and to make sure that your brand and your messages are heard, you know, with as many people as possible. So we'll talk about all of that as you, you know, direct this conversation. And I'm just glad to be here with you.
Yes, we are super, yeah, super excited to have you. So I know you kind of touched on branding and media and music. And so I want to tell our viewers and listeners, everyone that does not know, Ms. Jeannie had the opportunity to teach a master class at Howard University about creating your brand in media and music for long-term success, which is why I thought that would be a great conversation to have today, because all up and down my timeline, someone wants to be a rapper, somebody wants to be a blogger, somebody
right.
wants to be, you know, something in the business, and everyone's on social media, and I believe there's a formula to do it, and there are tips to do it, so I thought that was, you know, a great thing to provide and a great platform to have to share with, you know, all of the young Black people that we have listening to us and listening to our podcast on how they can use these tips and, you know, further themselves.
You're absolutely right, and it doesn't matter where you are in your life, what you're studying, what you are doing in your business, in your education, in your movement. Your brand is everything. We are living in a very different time. The music industry, I don't care if it's PR, I don't care if you're an activist, your platform, the way we communicate to our direct audience is so different than just 5-10 years ago. So you have to be, when I say your target audience, you have to know exactly who you're talking to. You brought up on social media, everybody from whether you snapping, vining, tweeting, whatever platform you're using, there's still strategic methods on when you're putting a message out, what time, all of that has a scientific factor in what is called your social media score. Do any of you know what your social media score is?
No.
Hello? Exactly.
Didn't even know you could check that. Yeah.
No, right. No. Look, you just thought it was the FICO, right? No, that's what
right.
I'm saying. No, there's a lot that we don't know, and that's why I think, you know, at the same time, spiritually, we were drawn to connect right now because of so much powerful work you guys are doing, and everybody that's, you know, like you said, listening and viewing. Your social media score is critical because that's how a lot of people will decide if they're going to sponsor your show, if they're going to, you know, give you things to sample or even promote your product. And the way that that works is that depending on what time you're doing, like I said, this just alone is its own conversation. So I'll touch on it and we can figure out how to communicate further about it. But depending on what you're talking about, if you're looking for interaction, that determines when, you know, the peak time of that audience comes on that platform. And it's amazing how different an audience is for Twitter than it is for Instagram, than it is for Snapchat. Totally, and even Facebook, most importantly, when you're talking about an event or books, to me, that's still like the primary, you know, format to use when you're talking about those things, whereas you're Twitter, Snap, again, these are still very different audiences on each one that have a different mindset, in my opinion. So it just depends on what you're promoting. But that score is critical because I didn't know it until GMC was looking at me to be what they call an influencer. And that's what we talk about. A lot of my clients are some of the top finders and some of the top YouTubers who are taking, well, getting the endorsements. I mean, gone are the days that artists alone or speakers or all of these people are getting endorsements. You have people right from their bedrooms, they're getting the endorsements from Colgate now and from all of these big corporations. They're getting to the White House before people who have been trained to do what they do for years. So that's the time.
I think the episode's going to end. I don't know if it was set up incorrectly or whatever. Oh, and that's very important, and I think that's something I didn't know. I don't think Shalice knew or anyone else, so I think that's a very important key to have, and I really appreciate that note.
Oh, absolutely. But, yeah, what I was saying was, like, GMC cars that, you know, do a lot of your high-end cars, whether it's the truck Escalade or anything that falls a Buick or a Camaro, they looked at my social media score, and they liked how, if I put a comment out or a statement or a question, what my response and how many, you know, impressions I got or retweet so that, you know, those things, along with some other factors, become a score. And it was important enough that they allowed me to take their cars for free for a week just to tweet about them. Top of the line, fully loaded cars anytime I want, anywhere in the country most of the time. So, I mean, those type of things are kind of cool, you know what I mean? But that's the world we're living in, and I think it's very important, especially with the messages and the education and the enlightenment that you guys are providing on this platform to be able to get to as many people. But like I said, that's all kind of forms of effective communication. It's one thing to just be talking or tweeting something, and everything has to have strategic planning.
Actually a very powerful statement, because in activism, a lot of us go based on, like, emotions and just, you know, good feelings and stuff, and we forget that we have to have strategic responses. You have to plan and you have to organize, and that, you know, that kind of affirms something for me personally, because the branding, as you said, is something that's so important, and it's important for us to be in control of our own brand. So my first question for you is, can you speak to that, the importance of not, in today's media, stars and celebrities lose control of their brand all the time. It's like one minute they have this perfect image and their brand is very strong, and then in the next second, you see them, like, just going into a free fall. So can you speak to how important is it for Black celebrities to be in control of their own brand?
It's extremely important, and everything you said is very accurate. And when doing that, a lot of times, like I said, we are very emotional people. We're passionate, and that, you know, is great, and that is why we have been the creators and the influencers since the beginning of time, which is very true. But at the same time, this is where whoever you're working with, I don't care if it's one person, your team, whatever, it's very important that you reassess what it is you're doing. I don't care whether it's your book, your show, your speaking, your movement in the community, to constantly go back and look at what you're doing, how effective was it. All of these things are important. So, for example, you brought up how somebody can have a brand, a name, and then, you know, something happens and it's a downward spiral, or things may become stagnant. It is at that point that your work ethic has to be consistent enough that it can sustain whatever. Things are going to happen in life. I mean, whether people want to call them haters, we go through life, we're doing one thing, and then, you know, a mishap happens, that goes down. But if your track record is consistent enough, and it's all about, too, how you consistently perceive and promote yourself, you know, what you attach yourself with, everything is critical. And just when you think people aren't watching, everything we do now as opposed to a few years ago is a journey. A lot of times artists will come and consult with me and want to know why something's not jumping off. How is it that they have one or two songs and they're getting bookings and I may have 500,000 followers? And or the people, some of my clients are more powerful that have 20,000 followers versus those that have 1,000,000. But it goes back to that target audience, who you're talking to, and if you're serving them, because people want to feel like they're going on a journey with you. Now, our consumer, whoever you're writing, they're very smart now. We get a lot of things because we're artists. We get it. We can break down the moons and the colors and all this kind of stuff. 9 times out of 10, the person that is buying your book, they're not where you and I are. You guys can sit there and be passionate and do a speaking, you know, on the hill or downtown or on U Street. I walk by, I am going to get it. What you're saying, why you doing what you're doing, how you feeling. Your average person who could be that dad trying to just get that, you know, next gig to keep the lights on, that single mom or that, you know, budding entrepreneur like you guys, they may not have the time. So now you're talking about whatever it is you're saying or doing, how effective is it in, like, you know, 15, 20 seconds? It's amazing how people have gotten deals from Vine. I mean, you mean to tell me all, you know, these long YouTube things, but people are blowing up off of 16-second increments of message or
yes.
song. You got to think about that. A lot of times when we're doing stuff, we overdo it. We're living in a society, you got to remember who your main core, what they're getting fed. And people got issues, got a lot of stuff going on today, the world that we live in. So everything, when you're feeding it, it has to be direct and it has to be concrete and simple. What we think is basic or they didn't really get the message, they've gotten it, but either you've killed the mood by constantly reiterating something and on and on and on. You know, I'm talking about, again, I am talking about the person that is buying your book, that is tuning in, that is downloading your song or listening to your poem. That's who I'm talking about, not artists. You know, because a lot of times that's who we're around because that's our community. But the buying consumer, you got to give it to them good. It's got to be concise, and you got to tell them it's got to be something that's either inspiring them, turning them on. There's got to be some type of movement, and those elements have to be there. So going back to branding, all of those things have to be thought about, and they have to be assessed, again, depending on what your goal or goals are, to, you know, figure out how your movement is doing. So, two, I found I have to do some type of crisis or, you know, some type of damage control for somebody, or how do you take their image from one stage to a level where they're getting bookings, where they're getting endorsements or getting even paid to speak for like 20 minutes. You know, I've gotten people to get, I mean, you know, 5-10 grand for X amount of minutes versus being somewhere hosting something for 2 hours, you know. So all of that has everything to do with when people, whether they're Googling you, I may tell somebody, okay, so you've been doing your song. It's very important. A lot of times we sleep on a community work. I know you guys get it, but, I mean, just how effective is it? Are you someplace where, if just say if you're giving children this uplifting, you know, message that you guys are disseminating all the time, were those kids inspired enough to go tell their parents what ends up happening? The parents end up linking on to you. So if you understand, I mean, how that movement, when you guys leave that crowd, when you guys leave that crowd, do they know your names? Are you chanting a motivational phrase to them that they definitely going to say, you know, it's catchy with what works for them, where they are? Everything that you said, great, but what do you want them to walk away with? Are they leaving with that? If they're not saying that what you've done isn't great, your book, your text, whatever it is you're doing, or your show content isn't good, that's not it. But, again, we're talking about the target demographic to make them want to come back, talk about you a half hour later, to make go tell 5 other people. And that's where that core base that nobody can take away from. I don't care what radio, TV, what book deal you have. That is your audience. When I tell you nobody can take it, and that's how people – you want to look at, I mean, I find people like Maxwell, Sade, I mean, these people, they don't have to make another record a day in their lives, but what they have done when they perform, they have made every person feel like they're talking to them. That is such an amazing gift, and people also have to respect, they think because, okay, I speak well, that means that I can be a motivational speaker, or those are such different like lanes and have to be respected. You would think a comedian or a motivational speaker would be good on radio. And I was blown to see times when, you know, those people would be on radio and completely flop. I'm like, well, man, they good at timing. And, you know, what is it? But it's a different skill. It is a different skill. And you would think somebody good in radio, you think it would transfer to television. Not necessarily so. And definitely people in television normally aren't good in radio because radio takes a certain wit, drive. You've got to be spontaneous. And even most importantly, it's a blessing to have talk radio because you can have more communication. You notice that radio, everything has been concise into the same record, 17 seconds, but that's the world we live in because of social media and everything we do. If you notice every television show from your nightly news to, I don't care if it's TMZ, you're going to see the reason why they have to put those borders up. You have to keep people's attention. If I've got you now, I got to make sure I keep you for the next 15 to 20 minutes because that's how we get ratings in what's called your TSL, which stands for Time Spent Listening. So, again, I know I'm giving you guys a lot of information, but it's more scientific than anybody ever thinks. But that's how greatness is created.
I mean, for me, that makes 100% sense. I mean, even when I, like, watch the news, it always boggles my mind why, for example, today, Fox 5 News and every other news station, Rob and Blac Chyna's engagement was a part of the news. And then we go to murders and the weather and,
right,
you know,
right,
D.C. politics and all of that. So that always, to me, I never could understand it. But when you break it down like that and time listening and how you have to pull them in and keep them in, it makes 100% sense.
That's where we are now. Pop culture has become news. Isn't that, I mean, it still blows my mind that TMZ, that's where people would go before ABC News to find out breaking, supposedly accurate information. That is insanity.
Yeah, I agree. And it's like before the news, and it's like government information sometimes and all other stuff. So that's definitely interesting for me. Keith, you still on the line?
Yeah, I'm here. I was about to jump in and ask a question. I think it's funny what y'all just talking about because I think I look at things in reverse now. Like, I actually get my news from Twitter, and I watch entertainment stuff on the news. Like, it's very weird, but it's very true. Like, I see more about entertainment and gossip and stuff on, like, I forgot, it's like NBC Today or ABC Today.
Yeah,
on
mainstream, right.
Yeah.
And then, but you'll get your concise
Twitter
news bullet points on Twitter. Can you imagine how that is now?
Right.
Yes.
Yeah, that's real. So it's crazy, but I wanted to ask a question kind of based off of the things you were saying for, like, artists and anybody who's an entrepreneur, anybody who's trying to do something in that field, in that realm. What do you feel is the importance of maybe having a team versus trying to do everything yourself? Because I know a lot of artists get consumed with, I can do it all myself. I can, you know, do everything. And then they work tirelessly to do it. And then sometimes they fail. Sometimes they make it. But you see these people, and kind of like you were saying, with even smaller amounts of buzz or smaller amounts of numbers, and they seem to skyrocket. And a lot of times I have found that it's because they've had a team behind them. So I just wanted to get your professional opinion.
That's
a very
good question. I personally don't believe anybody can be as effective as they can be doing anything by themselves, because being an artist, your concentration needs to be on your art and being the best that you can be 24/7. And so that you have to take time out just to do press releases or to do community events or your branding, your photo shoots. There's no way in the world you're going to be great in all of these avenues. Can you do them well? Absolutely. People, like you said, they do it all the time. Do I think it's the most effective? I don't. Because you can't be, you know, the best way to explain this is that I am probably one of very few females that I know probably in the D.C. market. I mean, normally women have been in either sidekicks in the morning or exclusively midday. When I came into the game, my goal was to break more barriers for people coming into media and to show that you can be on any time of the day. And I executed that from overnight to doing, you know, when I was just starting out budding, you know, doing morning news and Genie's Juice with Donnie Simpson to middays. I'm filling in for Tigger doing afternoons. They said that women couldn't do nights when Luck Talk became number one, you know, night talk show. I made sure I hit everything around the clock. And most importantly, in my hometown, most of the time in media, this is what we do as artists. You have to move around to different markets. For me to have been in my hometown the majority of my career in between the two competing stations four times. I mean, the very first time I was at home in D.C. was KYS, then to go to PGC, then to go to KYS, and back to PGC. I mean, that's unheard of. That's unheard of. Saying all that to say, you have to be established and good at one thing, okay? And those of us who are creators, we can't help it. We are good at so many different things. That's how God created us. But I think a lot of people don't do as well as they could do down the line, because it's very important to be known for doing something exceptionally well and then branching off. I'm not saying that had I, you know, just if I hadn't gone to television first, it wouldn't have been the other way around. But because I, you know, was so powerful in radio and number one for so long, when I did go to Fox and was there for 10 years doing Fox Morning News and developing artists all over the DMV and then, you know, being a critic for American Idol, that it went hand in hand, but it was an extension that also blew up as well. You know, so then from there, it started to develop artists from the ground up because my background was from age four on Bennett Roll. You know, I did theater, so I knew how to make somebody great raw. I can pull the best producers together and make you a great video, and then you've got this great image. But when you step outside, when it's just you and the audience, that's everything. That's going to determine whether people going back to Spotify, if they download all your former work and things like that. So it's very critical to, you know, just have that foundation. So that's why I go back to this artistry, doing, you know, just focusing on what they're great at and allowing other people who do what they do. People need to have lanes. And that's when the synergy is like the greatest. When you, it's nothing you can do. It goes right back to one-on-one, army, however you want to, you know, people when they online, however you want to call it. Certain things have been going on since the beginning of time that will not change in terms of effectiveness and being and great at something. So when you have that, I just feel like you're going to be even greater when it's time, you know, to execute.
For sure, for sure. So I have a question, and it's kind of a segue and takes your last comment on all the amazing things that you have done on DC Radio. I know I used to listen to the radio at work at 2 p.m., and I never used to listen to the radio at all just to hear Genie's Juice. But that was just me when I was, you know, in my retail days. However, my question to you is, how do you feel, or how was your experience as a Black woman in entertainment industry? I know D.C., you know, we like to call it the Chocolate City, so there may be more people in the industry. And I could be incorrect 100%, but I would like to know, like, your experience or how, you know, how has your experience led you to where you are today, being, you know, where you are?
Well, it's always challenging because I've always surrounded myself with people, you know, okay, if I was already great at writing and speaking on air, radio, television, and directing, my next thing was always, okay, now I want to be around, you know, the owners, the executive producers. I've always challenged myself to kind of be out of the box. And while I was in it, my goal, just like I said, I mean, for me, I mean, how many, you know, I think about interns that come in with me now, people are so, okay, if it happens, it happens, or thinking something's going to be given to them. We live in such different times, and people think, okay, well, you know, if I'm hot on Instagram, then that's going to transfer, or, you know, for how long. But your staying power has everything to do, it still goes back, you know, because if your cell phone breaks for a day, I mean, what is it that you can do if you show up, if somebody uses your name or your show brand or your book? How many people are going to show up because you have been consistent or been, you know, out talking about your product or pushing outside of when you just do what you do? So that's what I've always done, is amazing, bring up Genie's Juice, because I've always been, what I was really good at is producing and coming up with brands. I have now come up with names for artists and companies that are making millions now, and it was nothing new about an entertainment report. Everybody does that on the show. But the way I would do it, the way I would tease things, I even had my own, you know, program director at the time say, I know Genie, I know what she's going, you know, spit. But he'd be in his car going to a meeting. He's like, this damn Genie Jones, she got these great teasers, and now I got to sit in the car and wait. People told me they'd be waiting for me. They're trying to get out to work, but be waiting for Genie's Juice.
Yes.
But the way you do something, that's all I'm talking about, and whatever it is you do, it's how you execute it. Kitty of the City, that name became larger than me. That would come back in the rating. It then Genie Jones started to fade. It was like, where's that kitty lady, or the promoters, or where's the Kitty of the City? Or I want, you know, is she, you know, the kitty lounge, or her kitty's coming. So again, you talk, and then if you look at Jeannie Jones, that was the journalist. That was me on news. That was who I am, my base, when I'm talking to children. When I am on air, hey, I'm, it's your girl Jeannie Jones, but the kitty of the city, that was that chick, that nightlife, that was that chick that guys like to hear, but at the same time, it was so amazing. Somebody had called in on the air one time. They were just moved into D.C. from New York, and they were like, what is this? Meow. They were like, is that a sorority call? And that humbled me so much. I was like, first of all, y'all know there's nothing new about a cat. There's nothing new about saying meow. It's been going on since whenever God created cats. But when I would say meow, every time I did it, it was either, stamping an approval, somebody's song. It was uplifting another woman or a guy. It had a sexy context to it. Or, like I never forget somebody say, well, Jeannie, you didn't shout me out for my birthday. And I'm like, I did, like 15 minutes ago. They told me, but you didn't meow. And I'm like, what? You mean to tell me this wasn't good enough that I said happy birthday, Kim? She was like, you didn't meow, which means it wasn't everything.
It didn't mean,
That's when I knew how important, and you're talking now, 7 years ago, that branding, that was becoming more than any, I could talk to you all day long. Hey, this your girl Jeannie Jones coming up, blah, 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 blah. But if I didn't say, you didn't tell me, because I didn't say meow, it wasn't endorsed, it wasn't good enough. So that's when I knew. But I've always been good at coming up with those things that, even though it's been done, and just like, you hear people now, people been getting sued for music or clothing brands or whatever it is you create. But the person that wins is the person that evolves something and takes it to another level. Everything's recreated. You know what I'm saying? And but it's all about you take what you're doing. And how is your book, knowing that there's several books in that genre, what's going to make yours different? If it's down to the title, if it's down to a particular chapter that everybody's talking about, or what are you going to do to take it to another level? I think as much as we love music as a culture, And trying to educate people on the amazing level that you guys are doing it on. I mean, I don't see enough, kind of books with, a mixtape, a soundtrack to it. There's so many things that can be done to elevate what's going on and how it's done. Who are you? Who do you have a shot with, doing promos for the radio show? As many people, D.C. is a perfect market for what's moving and shaking. Everything is endorsed by a city. I don't care if it's what they got on, the next law, the next vibe. D.C. is responsible for so many people's, I tell people all the time, so many people's projects. Because one thing about D.C., we are intelligent trendsetters. If we endorse something, it's major. It took so long for Philly to even, be okay with Jill Scott again, because, for her to be a couple hours up, 95 north from us, for her to record her live album in D.C., why wouldn't she do it at home? But D.C., you'd be surprised a lot of times if Jay-Z is somewhere, our nosebleed may be $85, $90 nosebleed in New York, in the number one market in New York. They may get a ticket for $50, $55. That's just how much buying power we have, and we never really understood that. That's why, to me, our business sense in terms of music and art never has gotten where I know it can be or where it will be one day. People always say, maybe Gene, if it was you, Chuggy Thompson, some other people got together. Absolutely. It's just that everybody's been in their lanes and moving, hustling, and grinding. But we, our consumer base is insane. We dictate so much. And if we understood that alone, it's stuff like that. I was blown when she recorded a live album in D.C., but they understood, D.C. got love for you, we spend it, So it's a lot of different things. Yep.
Well, I know we have to let you go soon, but I want to ask you one final question. Now, what is the responsibility of the black artist in our current media-crazed society? Because you often hear people say, well, she's an entertainer, so her image, it doesn't have to be squeaky clean or whatever. She has to do what she has to do to get paid. But at the same time, we want positive role models for our young people, for our community. God, you as someone who is in that celebrity world, do you feel like black artists have a responsibility to the community?
Incredible question that we're forever answering. I believe yes, but when you're talking about art, you all know how thin that line is, and then that question is constantly raised. Now, do I think that we have a responsibility to – see, I've always taken it upon myself to make sure that I stayed in school, and as much as, you know, I used to question God, okay, I said, Lord, you had me studying and being great, but you, how did I end up just on a – love talk on a sex talk show. I want to decide when to do that. But when I have kids listening, how do I talk, do this show, but then go to, you know, a high school, middle school, elementary school and talk when they heard me talking about who knows what late at night. But here's the challenge, because I don't like the sense of art, because I am probably, I know, one of the biggest advocates for education. Both of my parents were educators, mom in PG County and dad from elementary Drew in Northeast to when Winston Jr. was on Minnesota Avenue to teaching at Bowie and Howard. But the thing is that culture that we have, well, actually we've always lived in. I mean, art, when you talk about music, that's very fast, because a lot of the times art is an imitation of what, sometimes not, but a lot of times it is. Some of our most authentic artists is an imitation of life, and these are things that are talked about in terms of image and what you say and what you endorse and things like that. So I think if you are, and that's a very individual move, but it's always been important to me when I, myself as an artist, when I'm consulting people, I strongly suggest whatever you're doing, whether it's something where you aren't clothed, I'll tell women in a minute, no, you can be just as powerful and influential with clothes on, you know, and you have a point to be able to show both sides if that's truly what it is. I mean, I'll bring up Selena Gomez as a good example. People were blown that she became the number one Instagram follower over Kim Kardashian, and everybody were blown, and Selena has been very consistent with just being in her lane, being clothed in with somebody as hot as Justin Bieber, who's been with everybody and their mama. But she, again, it's about being consistent. Being consistent to your brand and what you are doing, you won't lose. Jay-Z, you got a lot of people who are not even aware that as powerful as he is and how his journey has gone, that he's had probably lower single sales than a DMX and a Ja Rule and their hype. But because of Jay-Z's consistency over the years, he ended up winning larger. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
So it's a very individual thing, but you have to, you know, be conscious and look at yourself. Most people, depending on their journey, they don't have the knowledge to understand, you know, spirituality and how your moves affect other people. Some people aren't there. Some people don't even care about being there. The beauty that you guys spoke about in the beginning of the show, when you go out and speak, sometimes people, because of their lifestyles and what they've seen, they can't digest the beauty that you guys are saying because they have no reference to it. So that's when you have to stop. And sometimes the way you are projecting what you are educating, sometimes it has to be done in a different way, so you can see how the reception is even larger. You know what I'm? You understand what I'm saying? So that's why I can, because as much as I will always educate my community and give back, I can't say if somebody comes to, you know, my Ready Set Impact production company or Dresses Meow Media to direct a music video that may be edgy, I can't say that I'm not going to direct that piece, because as an artist, that my job is to take what a creator wants and make it great. Would I personally do that? I can't say that I would do it, but as a director, that's a different lane. So again, it's all of these variables that are around, but I am comfortable,
right,
in who I am and my name, Jeannie Jones, and my brand because of my consistency over years, that I can direct a music video that I may not necessarily endorse and tell your child to go listen to it, but I can go back to an audience and say why I did it. And because of my consistency, I have been in schools enough that me educating people and discussing options with people about the steps that you take in life, I do that enough that I'm okay with it, if that helps.
I think that perfectly answers the question.
Yeah, that was a powerful statement.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes.
Thank you for coming today. Like, I've learned a lot. Like, I know I've been quiet, but I've really been soaking up, like, game, so to speak. And it's really, like, so I really do appreciate you coming here and talking to everybody and, you know, being humble enough to do so, because you could honestly just, you know, looked over such a, you know, such, we're starting up, and, but it means a lot that you came on the show today. So I really want to thank you for my heart.
I thank you guys.
Really,
I'm excited for what you're doing. You know, I see this platform being so necessary and needed in the times that we live in for our community and for our city. So I challenge you guys to continue to be great, keep doing what you're doing, keep promoting. You know, maybe, like I said, this goes into school systems and, you know, educating them. Then you have the babies understanding and you creating this powerful village where we need to be anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And being a part of the show, and I just see you guys doing in between your individual works and what you guys are doing collectively, is such a great tool. So thank you. And if anybody wants to consult or reach out for their individual projects, their businesses, or I'd love to help people create their brands that will take over the world, you can reach out to me at jeanniejones.com. That's JeannieE.com. Or you can also email readysetimpact@gmail.com. readysetandimpact.com.
Thank you for that information.
Thank you.
Again,
so
thank
much.
You so much for coming
through. I'm proud of y'all.
Meow.
Did you see
nothing?
Meow. Yeah.
Meow.
Have a night, Jeannie. Thank you so much.
Bye, y'all.
Bye-bye. All right, y'all. So we had an amazing time with Jeannie. So I hope y'all soaked up that information because, like I said, everybody a rapper, everybody a poet, an activist or something, it doesn't matter. Everyone's trying to do something, and we're in a time where luckily you can promote your own brand. You can become whatever really you want to be with the internet, because you know, all of the doors are really open to you if you get the right people to see your stuff and you work it correctly. So I hope all of y'all soak that in. So we're going to kind of switch up gears. We usually do like our hot topics and stuff in the beginning, but we're going to start off, we're going to do that now. So I'm going to let Shalice start off with the first hot topic because this is something she kind of wanted to discuss. So Shalice, go ahead and take it away.
Okay, so my hot topic for today is the Twitter war between Azalea Banks and Sarah Palin. Now, I'm usually not I'm not an Azalea Banks fan just because I think that she's, you know, she's just vulgar in an unnecessary way. But I know that a lot of people, they do appreciate her voice. She has become, kind of like an iconic figure of the new generation of the angry black woman. But today it seemed like she did bite off maybe a little bit more than she could chew, because she said that we should get a bunch of big black men to gangbang Sarah Palin, record it, and then post it on Facebook. And Sarah Palin actually clapped back at her. It began based on like a fake article that was circulating with some quotes by Sarah Palin, and Azalea Banks was quoting her, actually quoting from the article, and Sarah Palin took the opportunity to hop on it and pounced on the fact that, oh, well, you're not even intelligent enough to see that that's a fake article, which, you know, was definitely a jab, because for all of her faults, Azalea Banks is actually very intelligent. You can listen to the things that she's saying. You can know that she is a woman who is enlightened. She's a little rough around the edges, but the knowledge is there. So I wanted to bring up this topic because I think that it's so important that when we are engaging these white supremacists, that we have to be on point all the time. Like, you got to come with facts. You got to come strong. You can't be caught slipping, because the same way that Sarah Palin pounced on Azalea Banks is, you know, the same way that sometimes when we're having these debates on Facebook, you know, they come at us with facts, and sometimes we're coming at them with emotions. So I just wanted to know, how do you feel about, you know, Azalea Banks saying that Sarah Palin should get, you know, gangbanged on some, like, Pornhub type shit?
I'll say this. I don't really care for Azalea Banks either. don't really fuck Sarah Palin enough to have an opinion on her at this point. I mean, the opinion I do have on it is pretty general. But not for nothing, I'm happy that somebody is going to have to stand behind their words that they place on social media. And it's not even a physical situation where somebody could get hurt or people getting killed, kind of like rap beefs are and stuff like that. Like, it needs to be a point where people are aware and responsible for the things that they post on social media, because it's to the point now where people just feel like they can say whatever they want and can just get away with it and just do whatever they want after the fact. And to see this situation, and I could tell Azalea Banks probably was shook because she wrote that apology letter, even though it was still kind of like sarcastic and still had some little smart ass way about it. Like, she probably still was shook, or at least her team, whoever they may be, was shook enough to be like, yo, we need to do something about this now because this lady really might go through with this. You know what I'm saying?
How you running with the big dog when you start clapping off at, you know, former vice president candidates? And
right.
When I first saw it, I was kind of like, ooh, damn. Like, did you really say that, girl? And because I do not agree with, you know, rape tweets at all. I do not believe that we should be telling people that they should be raped or whatever. But then you have to think about the fact that we're talking about Sarah Palin, who is a known white supremacist. So in that aspect, you know, as a woman, it's kind of torn, because I believe that what Azalea Banks said was, you know, very distasteful in a way. It's kind of like, okay, this could have been a great opportunity for somebody to really get at Sarah Palin. It could have been a great opportunity.
I'm sorry, go ahead, Julie.
Oh, no, I was just saying it could have been a great opportunity if she was able to say, well, you know, you're racist and you made these comments right here, so how can you, you know, feel some kind of way about me responding to that on behalf of my people? When you can do that, then we as a community will, you know, back you a lot. But it's just and that's another thing about these fake articles that's circulating. Make sure that you know what you're talking about before you do.
Well, what I will say is, I'm going to touch on a couple of things. As someone that enjoys her music and enjoys her in general, and I would say I agree with a lot of the things that she says. However, I will say this. There comes a time where you have to be accountable for the things that you say. And it's okay when you clapping back at T.I. and T.I. like, me and my wife going to find you on the corner. That's some heat you can handle. Because, you know, she like, I'm on my New York shit. Like, come see me and we can do that. But when you clapped at someone on a different level and this is what you get back, you kind of have to deal with that. And what I thought was interesting is I've never seen Azalea Banks apologize to anyone. Like, and she said plenty of crazy things to other people, so I think she understands she crossed the line. Now, in her letter, I know she mentions her humor, and I will say this as someone that listens to her music and knows kind of her humor. I think I know her humor from her music and her social media. She does have crass humor. She talks about dicks of all colors and shapes and sizes in all of her songs. So for me, the comment from her is not outlandish. It's more so I don't think she expected this repercussion. I don't even think she probably didn't think Sarah Palin would pay any attention to it or it wouldn't get that much heat. But the matter of the fact is everything that you say gets heat to the point where she had to get off of Twitter for a while, which was probably only a couple of weeks, and then she got on Instagram while she was off Twitter. So instead of writing tweets, she was just commenting on commenting and making pictures, and then now got on back on Instagram and you back in trouble. So I think the issue is accountability for the things that come out of your mouth. Like, it's, I don't like Sarah Palin either, but I know if I go on a rant of tweets and I say these things, it's possible somebody might come to my door. The same way if I say something on Facebook that our government may or may not agree with, it's possible them niggas may come to my door. Like, I just think that you have to be accountable for the things that you say, and this is the first time she's really being held accountable in a place that she may not be ready for, which is money, because this bitch is like, I'm about to sue your ass and make you an example.
But see, this also this also speaks to the hatred I have for this generation, and especially the musicians and their like wishy-washy ways. Because like, on the flip side, Palin is supposed to be running for vice president. They're supposed to be heavy on a campaign. Like, this is big enough for you to actually put any effort into suing somebody or taking stance against this. If you're vice president, you're gonna hear a lot worse than somebody wanting to rape you. I can guarantee that. So, first of all, you need to chill.
I want to correct you on something real quick. Because she is a former vice presidential candidate, but right now Sarah Palin is actually just on the campaign trail, actually supporting Donald Trump. So that's what I meant.
You're right. I'm sorry. You're right. But even in that, it's still like she's just looking for attention. But in the same token, what I was saying about the generation, Azealia Banks is so big and bad. And it's not just her, it's a lot of people. But it's like you say this stuff, the lady come back at you, and now you have an apology. And to me, it's like back in the day, like if you did have an artist like a Pac, like even when Snoop and them was going through their stuff, even Ice Cube, like if they said, pardon my French, but fuck the police, when they were interviewed, it was still fuck the police. You understand what I'm saying? Like, when I say something, I stand behind it. Whether it's in music, whether I'm talking about it, I'm going to stand behind it and say, yeah, I said it. She could do whatever she want to do. Because she talks so big and bad all the time, I would have respected that part of it. I respected her. She'd have been like, you know what? Yeah, I said it. You know, I do wish that. You know what I'm saying? You got like Nipsey Hussle and YG just shot a video and a song for the song Fuck Donald Trump. They're not taking that back. They shot a video for that. They mean that. So if you're going to do it, stand behind it. That's my only problem with this generation and this social media bull, is that it's just, it's kind of like everybody fake like they on a private account. And it's like, nah, you can be touched once people know who you are. So you need to be mindful. Or stand up for yourself and just ride it in.
And that's sure thing that, you know, if you're going to put it out there, then you have to be prepared to stand behind the comments that you make. I'm always, because I'm not in a position where I work for myself yet, we can add into existence real quick, but because I'm not in a position where I work for myself, I'm very cautious about the things that I say on social media. You know, sometimes I have to refrain myself and kind of like have to kind of self-control. But I am very careful about what I say on social media, because if you think that you are not being watched when you are on these social media sites, you are so wrong. And the wrong thing that you say on these sites can and it will go viral. So it's okay to have your opinion and stand, have your opinion, but like Keith was saying, is that when it's time to stand tall, you got to stand tall for it. You got to be able to say, you know, oh, no, like I said that. Don't be like these racist people who be like, oh, calling people all kinds of niggas and stuff, and they want to go viral. Well, you know what? Like, I didn't really mean that. I love all black people. All lives matter. You know, no, if you want to say it, stand behind it. If I was her, I probably would have said, you know, as a woman, I don't really believe that other women should be raped, so I will take that back, but bitch, I still don't like you. And that's how we going to do that.
Yeah, I mean, I can definitely agree with that. So it sounds like, you know, for the most part, we're on the same page. You know, I'm still here for what Azalea got to say. Like I said, I enjoy the bitch. Like, I do. Musically, I like the, like I said, most of the things that she says. You said what?
She has taken this whole angry black woman thing, stereotype, and turned that, I mean, we were just talking about branding, and I often wonder, like, girl, where's your team, and who is your people, and can they come get you, because the focus has become so much more. I've heard so many people say, oh, well, her music is actually very dope, but at the same time, her outbursts take away from the music. It takes away from the music because she says a lot of controversial things, and the media will harp on that. And that's what I was, that's something that I meant when I said controlling your own brain. Like, you have to be in control of it, because controversy, it sells music, but her music ain't sounding like that.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, I think with Interface, yeah, and I think her music is very big, really, in Europe. Like, I mean, I think she's big all over now, more so here, but when she goes to Europe, like, that's why she tours in Europe, and her tours here are not making it. Like, I bought tickets to take Wifey to the show. That's how I started listening to her, but that show got canceled, so we wasn't able to go. Like, what I'm supposed to do with that? But I guess, you know, so... It is what it is. I will definitely have to keep up with it. I'm sure that won't be the first thing that she says that we'll discuss on this show. So, you know, we'll keep her in the YBE box in the corner and bring her out to play on another day. So I kind of want to ask you guys, have you guys watched The Underground at all on, what is it, WGN, I think?
No, I haven't had a chance to see it yet. I've heard, like, really, really good things. Some people felt like it was a little whitewashed or whatever, but overwhelmingly, the feedback that I've heard has been positive.
I mean, yeah, I personally enjoyed it.
Go ahead.
I would say I personally enjoyed it. I know Nicole and I watched it. Well, we binge-watched it the other day. Well, today. We started it not too long ago, but we finished watching the last two episodes today. And I enjoy it. Like, I think John Legend is doing a good job as one of the executive producers. Like, the music is good. The plot is good. Like, it's exciting. For me, like, I enjoy things based on history. And for me, like, slavery and World War II are, like, my history zones that you can feed me that shit all day. I'll watch it, whether it's real life, whether it's a dramatization, whatever the case may be. But I think they're doing a great job. I wouldn't say, you know, to tie kind of to your comment, Shalice, as to some people saying maybe it's a little whitewashed, I wouldn't say that at all. I mean, it's still on public television, so I don't know how deep you wanted to get, but I would say, like, there's times I've watched it and there's parts of it that have made me cringe. There's parts of it that'll make you, you know, gasp. There's parts of it that'll make you laugh. Like, I thoroughly enjoyed it, so I would definitely be interested to see, you know, kind of where it goes.
I'm interested to see, too, and I want to know, what is the show structure going to be like? Like, are we just following this one group of... Because, again, I haven't watched it. So I want to know, how are we going to maintain the show from season to season? You know, is it going to be like this one group of runaways and we are following their journey? Or are we going to do, like, a different group anyway? I mean, every season. So, you know, the possibilities for the show itself are endless, and I'm happy to see it on air because we have a lot of pro-black programming right now, and a lot of people say they don't like watching movies or shows that are about slavery or whatever. Oh, slavery happened so long ago, it's so sad. Like, first of all, watching that shit is fucking empowering as fuck. Like, I watch Roots all the time, for real. Ask anybody that I'm cool with. I watch Roots all the time. Why? Because it allows you to see racism and white supremacy and for what it is and see the things that our people had to go through to overcome and put us in the position that we are in today. What the fuck are y'all scared of? What are y'all scared of?
Yeah, I agree.
I say this. I hate slavery movies at this point in my life. I mean, loved Roots. I still love Roots. I feel like I was in love with Amistad, or at least it's the story of Amistad when it came out. And it was one more that I was really intrigued with. But I guess when they started keep coming out, it just kind of was like, okay, like, I get it, and I understand that it needs to still, the story needs to never not be told. But at the same time, I just needed to expand a little bit. Like, and it bothers me. But I will say I stood there and watched a little bit of it because it was on the TV. And the little bit I did saw is when something was going on, they were being punished, and they were having to hold these big logs up for, like, basically all day. And I don't know, it did show me, like, a different side of what was going on that wasn't, like, trying to be heavily gruesome, but it seemed very, very real.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. They try to go. And I feel like, maybe it's not overboard, but it feels that way. But this felt real. It felt realistic. And so it was something different about it. I'm not an avid watcher, but I would sit down and watch it if it was on TV, and I might go back and look at it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I would definitely recommend it. My bad.
I think in comparison to movies that are about, like, I know that it seems like the market is so oversaturated with slave movies and movies about the civil rights era. But, and I know that it's not for everybody, but these are people who have done what we are trying to do now. And if we don't study that, everybody's not willing to pick up a book. So if we don't study that, then, like I said in the beginning, you know, like, it's like we have cultural amnesia. And not only that, but in comparison to the movies that we see, I mean, how many movies have been released about the Holocaust? You see, I mean,
right.
Every couple of years, we have a new movie about the Holocaust. We have a new World War II movie, World War I.
Mm-hmm.
We have movies that are, you know, very rooted in American and European domination. So I think that in contrast, we actually do not have we need more movies that are about the civil rights era, and more movies like, you know, what happened to Miss Simone. And I would love to see, like, another, like, the Stokely Carmichael, the one-man show that our previous guest is doing. You know, we need more of that to give us a more spiritual connection to our ancestors, because that's really lacking out here in the streets. That's why these kids are going wild, because they don't have any connection to the ancestors.
Well, that's true, and I don't deny that. But the only thing that I have an issue with is the overflow of the kings and the queens and the empires. Because, I mean, the problem isn't really that people don't remember, you know, or they forget that we were slaves, or they forget what got them here. It's like you said in the beginning, in your passage, you were saying about erasing your memory. Erasing in the memory in the history books and erasing out of people's mind their culture and erasing the fact that, yeah, there were still African slaves, but there were African kings, there were African queens, there were whole African
mm-hmm.
empires that succeeded and that thrived, that people actually mocked their whole system and regime. And they put game into the whole world from there. And then there's never a story like that. And I think even more than they need to know about the fight to overcome, they need to understand why it's important to fight, because we've been there before. A lot of these kids
mm-hmm.
think that we started from slavery. So they don't think that we're nothing more than African
mm-hmm.
people who came from Africa, who didn't talk English, who didn't speak a word of anything, who basically just clicked and clacked, who hunted rabbits and lions all day, and did nothing else, and then was slaves and was taught to. And so if they honestly think that, and a lot of people do, then they're never going to think beyond that. But if they know my people were kings and queens, and every time they have a movie about Egypt or something, it's white people. You know what I'm saying? Anything dealing with an African empire or something like that is white people. It's never black people portraying it. And that's what I just want to see more of. They don't have to stop making slave movies, because, like you said, every generation
right.
deserves to have a film. But we need more of the other stuff. And I wish that somebody in Hollywood that has a little power in the African-American community would do that, because that's very much needed.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea and a good, just a good statement, because I know, like, even Nicole and I was talking, one of our favorite movies is School Days. Well, one of her favorite movies is School Days, and in turn became one of my favorite movies because we've watched it a lot. And it's like in the 90s, you know what I'm saying, and late 80s, there was a movement of black movies, black entertainment, and it would just be great to see that now. You know what I'm saying? Like, Nicole's like, I need you to get on Twitter and at Spike Lee and at Kanye West and at all these people and Beyonce so we can get School Days 2015. I want to see it now. Or 2016, I want to see it now. And I'm like, that would be an amazing idea. I'm not about to tweet all these people, but your idea is genius. But it would be great to see those types of things. So like Keith said, there's a place and there's a lane for the slave movies and shows, but it would definitely be great to see another aspect of black life, whether it be Kings and Queens or, you know, whatever the case may be, just a historical point and an aspect of us being, you know, positive or whatever the case may be. And kind of to segue from that, I know we want to talk about Black Rob for 5 seconds, but I want to go to the Carmichael show. Have y'all ever watched the Carmichael show?
I haven't watched it much this season, but I saw all of last season.
Well, I will say this. Well, and Keith, you can probably chime in. This is why I bring this up now, because I think it kind of segues into the last topic is, I think that's a great show for people to watch. Black people for as well as people of any other race, because the topics that are going on are all kind of topics. So, like, the gentrification of Bobby. One episode of the season was about Bill Cosby. Like, the episodes are hilarious, but the undertones and the conversation of the episodes are great. A lot like Blackish. That's another, you know, show I would recommend to watch. But if you're not, I think Blackish may be like a little family cheesy for some people. So if you want something with a little bit more dry humor, I think the Gerard Carmichael show is a great show, because it does show different aspects of African-American life and discussing things that are not normally discussed. And he's not holding his tongue. Like, I've watched several interviews of his, and he's like, I'm going to say what I want to say about these topics. Like, they didn't really want me to talk about Bill Cosby, but as long as I can't get sued for it, we're going to talk about this next. Like, and the show was hilarious, and there were great points in it, and a great conversation to come from it afterwards. So those are kind of two shows that I want to give big kudos to and recommend watching that I think kind of fit into what we're talking about today, outside of historically black shows showing our culture and where we're at, but another aspect of black life now that's not, you know, like, and whatever the case may be, not to say that's not an aspect of African-American life, but that's not everyone's life. So I think these may be a little bit more relatable to the everyday person.
It definitely, like, and it has everything that I loved about the old sitcoms, where it has the comic relief, it has the realness, it has the debate,
mm-hmm.
It has the generational gap. It has everything that I look for in a good show, black, white, whatever. And they do talk, like you said, they're more like direct about the topics. Like, you know, like the topics will be like a full debate the whole show, which I like, as opposed to like Blackish, where they kind of throw in, it's kind of like a story that kind of segues into the ending being like, see, this is why this happened and such and such. This is like, guns are bad. I'm going over your mom's house to tell her that the gun is bad. You have a gun. And then the whole episode is us over mom's house talking about the gun, which is real, because that's what would happen in real life if your mother was in the gang and she found, you know what I'm saying? So I like that show, and I love it. And I love the fact that he takes risks. I heard him talking on a podcast. I believe it was The Brilliant Idiot. And
yeah, I watched that. I listened to that too.
Yeah, he was talking to them about it and just taking risks. He said, look, I'll tell them what's up, and